Adam Amin, television voice of the Chicago Bulls.
Giddy for the win!
MLB NFL play-by-play broadcaster for Fox.
Stonehouse with pressure, a block. It's scooped up by the Bears. Back the other way. Jonathan Owens. Touchdown, Chicago. That ball's loose. It is out. It is the Bears that have it. Power Eccles ends up with it. And it was Austin Booker who made the impact to knock it away from yours again.
Adam Amin on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We love talking to Adam Amin as we broadcast live through the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. He is an MLB announcer. He is an NFL announcer. And he's also, oh, by the way, the Bulls play-by-play announcer for CHSN. And he DJs. We're with the DJ, Adam Amin. Where's your next gig? Let's just start with that.
God, I don't know. Like, now we get to this time. This is now back focusing on the NFL. We're getting ready for baseball playoffs. I got a couple of baseball games in September, so the bookings, I think, start to fade away a little bit. I'm updating like YouTube and all that from like a best of summer, and like got to play a festival and played a bunch of clubs and got to play in Kansas City after the Bears game a couple of weeks ago. So I'll upload some stuff on YouTube at some point, but no, I think we're ready for the season to start.
How therapeutic is that part of your life compared to what we just heard on that intro with how sports goes?
I think they're both the same for different reasons. I think the process is very similar. I've talked about that with you guys. I've talked about that with Lawrence and Matt. I've talked to friends about it. Like, the process is the same. It's preparation. What do you think is going to work? What's important? What's not? What's going to work in this setting? What stories are applicable in this broadcast? What music is applicable in this room? You prepare for it. You hope it goes well. Sometimes it doesn't always go well. And afterwards, you hope it went well. And if it went well, you usually walk out of the room thinking, all right, decent job. And then you go, when's the next one? And we move on to the next thing.
Crowd pleaser when it comes to announcing, crowd pleaser when it comes to DJing. But I feel like you also basically describe perhaps how coaches might feel about the Bears preseason. You announced 2 out of the 3 preseason games with Jim Miller and Stacey Dales and, of course, Luke Kanellis. What were your takeaways based on what you got to see as an aggregate through all that?
I think slow start, speed up. That's what the offense kind of seemingly felt like after, you know, obviously the Buffalo game notwithstanding, but, you know, kind of going against some of the twos. I think just a little sloppy at times, which is, I guess, to be expected with a new install, with a young quarterback, with a first-time head coach. I think those are understandable things. I think because of where our expectations were for both Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson, and I'm sure a lot of us, as the case is in every NFL city across the country, everybody's expectations based off the good stuff usually is fairly high. Our expectations, I think, are fairly high this year based off of the track record of Ben Johnson, based off of what we believe in Caleb Williams to be, what we saw from this defense and the names that we're familiar with, the improvements on the offensive line, some of the new names and faces that we're excited about on offense. I think for all those reasons, our expectations are fairly high. I think the typical NFL problems are going to befuddle the Bears for at least a month, you know, and that's not going to be easy facing Minnesota and Brian Flores' defense out of the gate, facing Detroit, which I'm sure is going to be a very emotional game for all parties involved in week 2. I don't think the schedule is very easy, you know, right out of the gate. Obviously, the schedule is hard because you're facing arguably 2 of the best divisions and your own in the North and then the AFC North. So this always happens. This is the arc of August every year. Great offseason. We're pumped. All right, a little sloppy, but there's a lot to take away positive. We saw really good flashes. I feel really good. It wasn't so great to close, you know, for the starters in the preseason. All right, where are my expectations now? And I think an amalgamation of that, I think the overarching thought process is, at the end of the day, it's a first-year coach with a second-year quarterback. It's going to be a little bit of a struggle at times. You hope the talent level alone is going to be enough to keep the Bears close, and then it's a matter of what it is every week. 7 out of every 10 games in the NFL are a one-score game in the fourth quarter. It's going to come down to executing better than the other team.
That is why the league is so brilliant. As we talk football with Adam Amin, he's the NFL and MLB play-by-play announcer for Fox and Fox Sports, and the Bulls play-by-play announcer, which is not as far away as I thought it was, for CHSN, Football Talk on the Score presented by
Camp
Paramount+.
Camp is on
Plus.
The way, about a month.
Yes.
Not even a month.
Yeah, the first preseason game is the 7th.
Yep.
You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount+, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Adam, I have to ask you, as you go into this NFL season and you're looking around, there's always something that comes in late. And usually it's by way of Jerry Jones. And this is no exception. What did you make of the Micah Parsons trade? And I love getting your perspective because you see so much.
Depends on what you feel about Micah Parsons. And it's a binary thing. We know he's good. He is an objectively great NFL player, an objectively great defensive player in the NFL. Do you think he's a generational player who is bound for the Hall of Fame? And certainly the early, you know, first 3-4 year trajectory looks like, yeah, that's the case. What, he's at 10 sacks each of his first handful of years. So certainly the trajectory is there to be that type of player. Do you think what you saw this week when he's had a little bit of a back tweak, is that something that you start to expect now that you get into your later 20s? Now you're getting into your fifth, sixth, seventh season. You're working on a contract that's probably going to take you into your late 20s and into your early 30s. And do you think that injuries are going to start to play a part of it? Because you think, if you think that's the case, you're going, Jerry Jones is selling high. Whether you think he got enough for the trade back, and I would say he didn't, based off of you are treating him as a Hall of Fame, you know, trajectory player. I don't think he got enough back, but I understand that's what he thinks. Hey, I got a couple of big-time picks. I got a defensive tackle I need to shore up my run game. Fine. If you think he's a generational talent, then this is a really stupid move for Jerry Jones. And it's a great, smart, really heads-up move by Brian Gutekunst. It's a smart play by Green Bay, and I don't think they gave up all that much for it. And I think for what they're getting back, that's a risk I think is very much in the take-the-risk category. I think that's in the basket of this is a risk worth taking, because now, and I think Vegas suddenly put the Packers as the favorite to win the division, if I'm not mistaken, or at least their odds went way, way up and closed the gap with Detroit. So I think this is a great move for Green Bay. I think it's kind of a dumb move for Dallas, but it's not surprising based off of how you hear Jerry Jones talk about it.
Yeah, I said earlier, for all the flack, appropriately, that the Bears have gotten for living in the past and having the nostalgia aspect of not just 1985, but you can even go back to the Super Bowl teams of Lovie Smith or the Super Bowl team of Lovie Smith. For all of that, it's still been 30 years since the Cowboys have gotten to an NFC championship game. And that's longer than the Bears.
Yep.
And so that's where I sit with this. They already were going to have trouble in a weak NFC East, relatively speaking, compared to like the North. I still think based on the Giants being in that division, they were still going to have trouble. No doubt the Commanders and the Super Bowl champs and the Eagles were going to be a problem for them. But this, I'm not even out of the gate, I think it hurts Dallas. The better discussion is how much this makes the Green Bay defense that was already good better.
I think it was getting better over the course of the last couple of years. I think it does make them better because this is the level where when Green Bay was great defensively, this is usually the level where you looked at and said, all right, there's somebody to think about. The Clay Matthews of the world certainly stick out. The AJ Hawks of the world certainly stick out. I think this is the position that they need to be able to contend with Penei Sewell. Like, you're trying to make the Deckers and the Sewells of the world, the tackles in this division, feel as uncomfortable as possible, and now you've done that. You're going to make, I mean, I imagine Micah Parsons is very excited to show up against Chicago at some point this year and wonder which tackle am I going to prep for this week? Because that's been one of the biggest questions for the Bears in this preseason and through camp is, well, what's the tackle situation going to look like? Is it probably going to be Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright? Yeah, probably.
Officially announced Braxton Jones.
They have Braxton Jones this week on the depth chart. So there you go. Officially, sure. Is that going to be the case in a month and a half? I don't know. I really don't know. And I feel really good about the interior of the offensive line. And I know Braxton Jones has had good years. And I know Darnell Wright has had solid stretches. I'm not saying they're not capable players. But if there's this much in flux to it, and you're looking at a cross-divisional opponent that you're going to see twice that just improved the second or third most important position in football right now, based off of how passing percentages are, I think passing percentage is like 55%. For it to 45% run or something like that now. It used to be flipped about 10 or 15 years ago. Like, you're passing more than you ever have. Third down and short is a passing down sometimes because it's extension of run game. How much are you creating havoc for opposing tackles and quarterbacks? And Green Bay just got a lot better at that, and I think the Bears haven't done enough to shore up the edges compared to the rest of this division where some of the offensive lines are.
Yeah, one thing's for sure. He only has to go up against that Eagles offensive line once this year as opposed to having to do it twice. So already easier pickings for him. Sure. Looking at the Bears and where they stand coming out of those preseason games, I've been trying to tell people Caleb Williams is a work in progress. This team is a work in progress. And I think a lot of people, there's either people who are pro-Caleb or people who are anti-Caleb. And it's so interesting how it's become so binary at this point. When you talk about even within a fan base, how they feel about their starting quarterback. It's an old trope, but it feels like we've gotten to this highly divisive time even in fan bases. And Caleb is like a perfect example of that.
I think just the binary aspect of the embracing of debate and things like that. I think that's just how discourse has gone in sports for the last 20 years. It's been an ever-evolving thing where you have to take a side, and the lack of nuance in discussing some of this stuff is frustrating. And I understand why. It's a bigger money business than it's ever been, so more people feel that they want to have some kind of opinion on it, because when something is this much of an economic percentage of your everyday life, and for a lot of us, if you're listening to the show, this is a percentage of your everyday life, and because it's such a big business, the NFL in particular, that means it's an economic part of your life. So everybody feels that they need to have an opinion on it, or feel that they have the solution, or tries to apply every portion of their lives to what's happening in sports. Guess who does that? I do. I do that for a living. You guys do that for a living. Anybody who listens to this show has probably done that in some capacity. So the discourse around these guys is very, it's less nuanced than it used to be. I think because the timeline of a lot of these things gets sped up, we expect so much out of these guys right out of the gate. I'm prepping for Denver and Tennessee right now. And it's just funny because I've been bringing up Caleb's name a few times in this, because Caleb had 30 some odd starts in college, right? Cam Ward had 57 starts between multiple levels. I think it was FCS, Incarnate Word, and then he was at Washington State, then at Miami for a year. Bo Nix started more NCAA games than any college quarterback ever. He started 61 of them between some big time programs in Auburn and Oregon. And these guys, you know, the expectation of Ward is he's going to show up ready and prepared for at least a lot of the baseline stuff that you don't have to prep him for, because he's already been under center for a decent amount of his career. Same thing with Bo Nix. He just took a lot of snaps. He kind of understood the rhythms and processes of it. And yeah, it has to speed up at the NFL level, but I thought he did a pretty good job. Caleb has had decent amount of starting experience in his career, but that doesn't mean that everything that Bo Nix did in his college time is applicable to the NFL. It doesn't mean that everything that Caleb did in college is applicable to the NFL. And the process of getting through a lot of that is the most frustrating thing to watch with young, talented players. And that's going to be the most frustrating thing to watch with a young quarterback in Chicago. It's still going to be a process. And this is a hard change to go from an athletic, improv-based quarterback who's got all the talent in the world to make plays out of nothing, and turn him into a majority of the time, stand back and read through the progressions in the NFL, because this is a progression-based offensive league. You have to let plays develop. Defensive schemes are more complex and nuanced than they've ever been, so needing your one receiver, your furthest outside receiver, to run his route, to clear a defender out, and a potentially a zone linebacker out of that fray to allow your number two receiver, the guy inside of him, to have an out route or to have spacing on the perimeter in a one-on-one situation, that takes 3 seconds. Your offensive line has to hold up, and you still have to be, as a quarterback, have the wherewithal to go 1-2, come back to 2, but look at 3 in case it's open, and then go back to 2. That is a hard change to suddenly drill into a quarterback's head. You have to do this within, let's say, 3.5 seconds every single time. Time to throw an average in the NFL is 2.81. So let's say between a half second shy and a half second beyond that, you got about 3.5 seconds to make this happen. That's a hard thing to change. And I think because of that, understanding the complexities of that, maybe that will give fans a little bit of an understanding as to why we may see some struggles.
I love the nuance there.
Yeah, we're talking to Adam Amin, of course, NFL, Major League Baseball, and Chicago Bulls play-by-play announcer, for all seasons, because I am allowed to smile while I talk.
No, I was just like, it seems like you left like, oh, Bulls. Maybe that's why I
think you were reading a lot into that.
that's the way I
think it was
feel.
Just a natural pause.
You're feeling some nuance there.
I think it was
nuance in the cadence.
No, it was just a natural pause. I do want to add to that, though, because in my opinion, what you see a lot is, I don't like to lump them into one category versus another, and that's it. But there are the quarterbacks who get to make a lot of money because they know how to fix a busted play, and those just don't happen as much in the NFL. And then there's also the quarterbacks who succeed not only with the busted plays, but they aren't showing as much flash because they succeed in what is a more basic concept in college. You know, you're not going to see as many busted plays, for example, even in the SEC.
Sure.
That you're going to see, and in the Big Ten, than you are in another conference. These are just the truths. I think that makes it hard when quarterbacks get to this point because of their instincts.
Yeah.
And because of those instincts that got them to these places.
Yep.
Not that that's all that Caleb Williams does. I'm not saying that. I don't think he gets a Heisman Trophy if that's the case.
Of course.
But when you know that that's what you're really good at, when you can make something out of nothing, I think it's a really hard thing to unlearn when this is how you got here.
It's worked forever. Why would I change now, right? And it's a great point. And again, that's the thing that you have to marry. Those are the ideas that you have to marry as a coach. And I was talking to my partner, Mark Sanchez, about this, and he went through a very similar circumstance. I think some of the struggles that we hear, and I know the Seth Wickersham book that kind of gave some of the insight as to maybe some of the dysfunctions of last year. Mark was telling me about his first year with the New York Jets. They brought in multiple guys. They brought in Rich Gannon, who was a veteran at the time. Mark Brunell got brought in, and basically to teach Sanchez, and coincidentally one of his backups during that stretch was Kevin O'Connell, now the coach of the Vikings. He had to learn, like, when do I show up? What do I wear? What time do you guys leave for the bus? What time? Which bus should I take? Should I take the first one or the second one? Why do you watch film? What do you do when you watch film? What are you looking for when you watch film? Like, Mark Brunell had to teach Mark Sanchez, all right, what do you see right now? He goes, all right, well, that's an over front. Okay. Come on. What's the next step? He goes, there's an under front in another play. Yeah. And like, he didn't understand that this is the process of, I'm going to watch this film, then I'm going to watch the next play and watch the next and the next and the next and categorize all these things. And I should probably be taking notes in the margins about these when I categorize them. And then I should probably keep track of how many times I saw this versus how many times I saw that. Like, he didn't know this when he first showed up. And this was one of the great college quarterbacks of the 2000s. So to not have that in place, I think this is why Case Keenum is so important this year, right? 13-year NFL vet, just to show Caleb, this is how I did it. Maybe that's how it will work for you, but you need to have some form of a process here. And it's so difficult to drill just that out of somebody's head, let alone what you're going to do in the 3.5 seconds that you possibly have to make a play on the offensive end when there is a busted play or when the protection on the first read doesn't look just right. Can I trust that? Do I move on? Can I trust that I can move on based off that? There's all these little nuanced things that it's really hard to drill that out of guys. Jared Goff was a Super Bowl quarterback with the Rams. He was not the Jared Goff, though, that we know now. And Ben Johnson obviously had a lot to do with that. Dan Campbell had a lot to do with that. It's a lot of playing psychologist for Ben Johnson to try to unlock the things that make Caleb tick, that make him motivated, that make him excited, that piss him off, maybe to the point where maybe pulling him out after one series during, you know, your first practice is to send a message and say, hey, I'm not going to stand for this. You better shape up. And I do think that's a positive from Ben Johnson during the training camp that we've seen is a certain standard that has to be met. And maybe that'll be one of those things that helps jar Caleb out of whatever rigmarole he was in for year number one.
Agreed. That's Adam Amin. He, of course, play-by-play man for the Bulls, the NFL, Major League Baseball, local DJ near you. And he is happy enough to join us, yeah. And we're thankful for it here in studio. And we get another segment with him in studio, so we will do that next. On Raheem and Harris, talk a little more football, maybe a little baseball. And yes, I do have a Bulls question for Adam, so you won't want to miss that as well. That's all next here on The Score.